Week. And I am going to depart from my intended message again after the tornado last week, and we shared testimonies, and so I was like, all right, I'm going to get back on the message. Well, then the state of our government this week, and beyond the state of our government, but the state of this spiritual climate in America, and I have sensed great spiritual warfare, even this morning, through last week. And I just was asked, so I'm wrestling with these things, wrestling with it. And it's like, well, God is good, God is good. Yep, I know God is good. But I believe it's related to the memory verse that we have for the year, 2018. 2018 is Matthew 6:33. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you as well. We have that in our lobby. I've been encouraging you to memorize that verse. A lot of you already had it memorized. It's just a classic verse to hold on to hide in your heart. And it's very specific. I felt God gave it to us for this year. Seek first over all things. And that's why I say, whether it's finances, every area of your life, seek the kingdom of God first. And then he knows you need money. He knows you need housing. He knows you need companionship and health and all these things. All these things will be added to you as well. And I believe this is part of what God is doing in this season that our nation is in. I'm changing the plan. And then Brother Rod, our overseer, one of our overseers, in fact, two of them contacted me this week to say, pray for America. Not pray for politics. And I want to make it clear, this is about the kingdom of God. It's not about Democrats or Republicans or left or right. This is way beyond that, although I'll get into that more. This is way beyond politics, and I grieved and I wrestled with the Lord. It's like, yeah, I just, you know, I wanna be a pastor of a church that comes and gets encouraged in the Lord and has fun and laughs and is uplifting. I like to laugh. I like to encourage. I like to crack a joke every now and then. But I feel like it's like, God, you really need to go here, and I feel like God really needs to go here, wants us to go here today. And by the way, if you're a guest here, and I hope you don't feel like it's hard on people financially earlier. I'm just stirred and grieved. So it's been weighing on me all week. And in a profound way, like I haven't experienced for quite a while. Just how serious a crisis. We hear prophetically spoken over the nation, we're get ready for trouble, get ready for trouble, get ready for trouble, get ready for trouble in America. America, get ready. And now the word is, trouble is here. Trouble is here. And it's here now, and we have been getting ready for it. And I want this church to be a church that's serious about the kingdom of God. Not just a nice club doing fun things. And I like doing fun things. I like fellowship. I like relationships and healthy relationships and laughing. I like doing silly men's breakfasts and giving away knives and having Ray be the hero of the morning. It's like every photo, Ray was in it. Because he's cooking. And I want to give a hand to Eric Newgard. Eric, for cooking, being the guy. Eric just came up afterwards when I said we're looking for a cook to do the maiden voyage of our equipment, and he stepped up, and he's got experience, and boy, did it show. And then Ray was his right-hand, his first mate assistant, and so he was helping with the cooking. I also asked Ray to share the message for the 740, and so he did that, and who wins the knife, the giveaway knife, is Ray. Draws the name out of it. It's like, He was just the, it was a dominant morning for you, Ray. That's good. It was good. I like having fun with that stuff. But then there's a time I felt like God's saying, call the church to a serious focus on the spiritual health of our nation that goes way beyond politics. The devil hates you and me. The devil hates our government. The devil hates this nation. And I'm going to read a letter, and I'm going to show a video clip from two nationally known men of God. But I think it, you know, a lot of people think the book of Acts, it's unusual. The end of the book of Acts doesn't have an ending. The Acts of the Apostles doesn't have a clear conclusion. Like every other epistle, like the Gospels, pretty much every other book of the Bible has a clear conclusion done. The book of Acts doesn't end. And the insinuation, the implication of that is it's still going. And we continue with the, you know, the Bible was written, it's a history book of certain times in world history, of course, from the beginning, from creation to 2,000 years ago. But it's not just done. It's not just, okay, it all happened. Everything that God is doing, he did, and now we learn from it and put it into practice. It's like, no, he's still doing it. He's still raising some up and setting others down. He's still building his church, his remnant. He's still redeeming people. He's still building and expanding his kingdom, and we're part of it. And so I think this is part of we're it. You know, we are part of what God is still doing. And it goes back to Ephesians 6. I'm going to read that it's not against flesh and blood that we wrestle. Starting in verse 10, finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood. It's not against left or right or Democrat or Republican or President Trump, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything, to stand. And then it goes on to explain what the different parts of the armor, the breastplate of righteousness, the belt of truth, the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And I, you know, I partly wrestled with this, like, God, I don't like getting political. I don't like getting into politics. And Sunday morning, ask me my opinion any day of the week you want. I'd love to share with you, and I'll share it here, but I know this is beyond a political party issue, but it's clearly the devil is having a heyday. And I want to read a letter from Dutch Sheets, and he's a prophetic intercessor, author, and speaker. I know it's a strange name. He's been around a long time, speaking to the body of Christ. And he wrote this, it's a call to prayer after sitting in on the hearings for Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh. And so this is what he wrote. He sent it out to the church, and this is to get the message to the church. And then I'm gonna read this, and then I'm gonna show you a video clip message from another gentleman, and then we'll go from there. But this is a call to prayer. Just listen, but you need, this is out of 2 Timothy, he's just reading 2 Timothy 3, verses 1 through 5. This is from the Passion Translation. But you need to be aware that in the final days, the culture of society will become extremely fierce and difficult for the people of God. People will be self-centered, lovers of themselves, and obsessed with money. They will boast of great things as they strut around in their arrogant pride and mock all that is right. They will ignore their own families. They will be ungrateful and ungodly. They'll become addicted to hateful and malicious slander. Slaves to their desires, they will be ferocious, belligerent haters of what is good and right. With brutal treachery, they will act without restraint, bigoted and wrapped in clouds of their conceit. They will find their delight in the pleasures of this world more than the pleasures of the loving God. They may pretend to have a respect for God, but in reality, they want nothing to do with God's power. Stay away from people like these. That's 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 5. This is, and then this is his letter. Welcome to much of America today. A generation of Americans has given itself to erroneous and destructive beliefs, anti-biblical thinking, humanism, he says humans are their own God, secularism, the view that education and civil policy should be conducted without a religious element, and death, abortion. As a result, we are now ruled by the spirit that produced these beliefs. The reality of this was on full display at the confirmation hearing of Brett Kavanaugh, President Trump's nominee to the Supreme Court. I was there, along with 50 to 60 other intercessors, to pray for God's will to be accomplished. The level of deceit, lies, slander, and arrogant pride was shocking, displayed not only by the protesters, but also by opposing senators. I left D.C. with several significant thoughts, which I believe are worth sharing. First, the level of spiritual warfare was extraordinary. Never have I been more convinced that a war of historical proportions is underway for the soul of our nation, a war that will have worldwide implications. Like Israel, America's role on the earth is extremely significant. Israel was chosen to bring forth the Messiah, the Savior of the world. America was chosen to be the foremost messenger of this good news. Understanding this, there is little wonder that such an intense spiritual war for our destiny is occurring. At the Kavanaugh hearings, I was also amazed by the level of viciousness coming from the left. Some of them seem to have lost all decency. Their liberal agenda is all that matters. This segment of America's leaders is determined to maintain control over our nation. Truth, honor, integrity, civility, morality, and the lives of babies be damned. As our opening passage states, they have become addicted to hateful and malicious slander, ferocious, belligerent haters of what is good and right, with brutal treachery. Do not be deceived. They despise what we stand for and will not relent in their opposition. To these elitists, we really are deplorables. And I assure you, this war is winner take all. Thirdly, the emphasis on abortion coming from those on the left was enlightening. I expected the subject to come up, but it became obvious early on that this issue was their paramount concern, overwhelmingly so. The right to abort babies was mentioned or alluded to by the Democrats 10-1 over any other subject. It is unfathomable to me that we have come to a point in America's history where the number one goal and concern of half her leadership and perhaps half of her population is the right to abort babies. Sadly, however, it has come to this. Clearly, this is demonic. The resulting bloodshed of 60 million innocent babies has caused our land to become defiled. This, in turn, has allowed a spirit of violence and death to rule over us. And then he references Psalm 106:38, which says, "They shed innocent blood, the blood of their sons and daughters, whom they sacrificed to the idols of Canaan, and the land was desecrated by their blood." And he also mentions Isaiah 59:7. "Their feet rush into sin, they are swift to shed innocent blood. Their thoughts are evil thoughts, ruin and destruction mark their ways." Though this is America's true condition, it does not have to be the final word. A turnaround has begun, and if the praying church continues its appeal to heaven, the Lord, who delights in mercy, will save us And then he references Micah, and I want to read that, 7, verse 18 and 19. Who is a God like you who pardons sin and forgives the transgression of the remnant of his inheritance? You do not stay angry forever, but delight to show mercy. You will again have compassion on us. You will tread our sins underfoot and hurl all our iniquities into the depths of the sea. That's a great promise. God is so gracious. I believe America is about to experience the greatest revival and restoration in her history. Again, it says, if we continue to pray. And that's the key weapon of warfare that we have, is praying, and praying according to the Word of God. One of the keys to this restoration, however, is the transformation of our judicial branch of government. The left knows this, which is why their vicious and unprincipled attack of Justice Kavanaugh is unrelenting. These efforts are an attempt to delay the confirmation vote until after the midterms, in hopes that through these elections they will regain control of Congress. This would allow them to oppose Kavanaugh's nomination indefinitely, as well as any other pro-life constitutionalist nominee President Trump would appoint, which is what Brett Kavanaugh is known to be, is he just presents the Constitution as written. That's it. Versus make it say what you want it to say, rewrite it, and create laws that don't exist. If this scenario occurs, they have threatened to continue this delay for as long as 2 years in hopes that in 2020 a pro-choice president could be elected, allowing them to maintain control of the Supreme Court. Regarding the recent allegations against Judge Kavanaugh, no compassionate person would ever belittle the pain and trauma of a person who has suffered a sexual assault. But whatever occurred to his accuser, I don't believe it was perpetuated by Judge Kavanaugh. I believe he is an honorable man and a competent judge. More importantly, I am 1,000% certain that neither guilt nor innocence can ever be proven in this case. I'm also certain that in such a situation, it is completely inappropriate for a person's reputation, family, and career to be destroyed. This unacceptable treatment of him contradicts every tenet of law and justice America was built on. And the manner in which this accusation has been handled by the left makes clear that their actions are nothing but a Democrat smear campaign. Please pray against these attacks and for evil to be exposed. Pray also for Judge Kavanaugh's family and for his confirmation. The vote for whether or not to confirm him will probably take place, and this is from last week. Before they decided to go another week with an FBI investigation. Judge Kavanaugh's wife, Pastor Keith Tusey, other overseer, another one, asked us to pray Judge Kavanaugh's wife asked the church, she asked for prayer, national prayer, based out of Psalm 40, 13 through 17, and I want to read that. That's up here. It says, "Be pleased, O Lord, to save me." This is what she, the wife of Judge Kavanaugh, asked for us to pray. "Be pleased, O Lord, to save me. O Lord, come quickly to help me. May all who seek to take my life be put to shame and confusion. May all who desire my ruin be turned back in disgrace. May those who say to me, 'Aha, aha,' be appalled at their own shame. But may all who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. May those who love your salvation always say, 'The Lord be exalted.'" This is a request, and Pastor Keith asked us to pray for her. Also ask God to give us the breakthrough in the Supreme Court we have been requesting for decades. A majority of justices who are constitutionalists, literalists, meaning they believe the Constitution is to be taken literally exactly as it is written, and who are pro-life. Let's all boldly ask him for another vacancy on the court soon. I feel strongly in my spirit another is coming quickly. We should be offensive in our prayers, not just defensive and reactionary, meaning pray for Pray for good to come. Don't just pray in response and reaction to bad that happens. And then the midterms. Please pray regarding the midterm elections occurring on November 6th. I have never allowed myself to be overtaken by a political spirit. For me, elections are never about Republican or Democrat. They should at least in part be decided based on God's will and destiny for America, righteousness, life for the babies, morality, and the eternal souls of human beings. Having said that, however, the Democratic Party has strayed far from these ideals, and they actually booed a motion to include God in their platform at the Democratic National Convention in 2012. I pray for their salvation, but I cannot support their current policies. And this is where I just, again, say this is not about left or right, Democrat or Republican. This is about God's kingdom, seeking His kingdom first, honoring Him. The earth is the Lord's. The heavens and the earth belong to the Lord. The fullness of it and all who dwell in it belong to Him. We are to align ourselves. He didn't come here to take sides. He came to take over. He's coming back not to side with what we're doing, left or right. He's coming to take over. And we want to be aligning ourselves with Him. The great turnaround I mentioned above has truly begun in this nation, but if the far left regains control of Congress, this will be interrupted. We simply cannot allow this to occur. Pray for a supernatural, powerful, and merciful intervention by God in these elections. I don't pretend to know what that looks like or how He might do it, but I know God can do something that would turn the tide. Let's ask Him to do just that. Pray fervently, faithfully, daily, boldly. Ask Holy Spirit for His mercy to our nation. Appeal to Him for His assistance to us in our attempt to turn America. Petition Him for the assistance of angels. Pray that evil will not prevail. Ask Holy Spirit to confuse and thwart the plans of those who oppose Him. Pray for President Trump and other leaders in our nation who are standing for life and for America's God-given destiny. President Trump, though imperfect, is doing a good job. Make no mistake about it, the vile hatred of him by the left is not because of his immoral past. Hollywood, the heroes and partners of those on the left, glorifies immoral lifestyles on a daily basis. They hate President Trump because he is helping turn around the Antichrist agenda they love. And because he is halting their transformation of America into something other than what was intended by God and our forefathers, our founders. John Quincy Adams, son of John Adams and America's sixth president, stated, "The highest glory of the American Revolution was this. It connected in one indissoluble bond the principles of civil government with the principles of Christianity." So much for our founders not wanting God involved in our nation and its government. Contend with me for this reality to be restored and continue in our future. In our war for America's recovery, we have come to our Saratoga, our Omaha Beach. We will either persevere in this battle and with God's help win, or we will grow weary and lose. There is no middle ground. I'm convinced that we, the praying church, will continue to fight and will win. America's destiny and the cause of Christ is at stake. That's a letter by Dutch Sheets. Now, in a minute, I want to show a video, but I want to preface that video exhortation by Lance Wallnau, which I never heard of, but in 2015, he's another, like Dutch Sheets, a man who God has used nationally, prophetically to speak to our nation, and he went to hear Donald Trump running for election in 2015, and this was in 2015 when it was a joke that Donald Trump was running to be president. But he listened to him, and then he got home, and he believed that God told him that Donald Trump would win the election. And this was a prophecy that happened long before he was elected, that he made known. He just made it known that he felt like God said Donald Trump will be the next president. And he said specifically, God will use Donald Trump to be a wrecking ball to the spirit of political correctness. And he has. And this is, boy, has he ever. And after this meeting and hearing him and felt like God spoke to him and said, Isaiah 45 will be the 45th president. And so I want to read Isaiah 45 because this is important. I want to read just a part of Isaiah 45. Because he compared Donald Trump to King Cyrus of Babylon, who was an ungodly, pagan, heathen king of the nation that conquered Israel and took Israel into captivity in Babylon. But then God moved on Cyrus's heart. He says, this is Isaiah 45. This is what the Lord says to his anointed, to Cyrus. Remember, Lance Wallnau, God told him, Isaiah 45 will be our 45th president. And he at the time didn't even know what number. He wasn't sure. He had to look up. Okay, how many are, okay, yeah. Obama was 44, so the next one would be 45. So this is what the Lord says to his anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I take hold of, to subdue nations before him and to strip kings of their armor, to open doors before him so that gates will not be shut. I will go before you and will level the mountains. I will break down gates of bronze and cut through bars of iron. I'll give you the treasures of darkness, riches stored in secret places, so that you may know that I am the Lord, the God of Israel, who summons you by name. This is God speaking about King Cyrus. For the sake of Jacob, my servant of Israel, my chosen, I summon you by name and bestow on you a title of honor, though you do not acknowledge me. I am the Lord, and there is no other. Apart from me, there is no God. I will strengthen you, though you have not acknowledged me. And he says that again, so that from the rising of the sun to the place of its setting, men may know there is none besides me. I am the Lord, and there is no other. I form the light and create darkness. I bring prosperity and create disaster. I, the Lord, do all these things. And you can read, that's just the beginning part of Isaiah 45. And it's all about God making himself known through an ungodly leader who he used to call Israel to return to Jerusalem, return to Israel, call the people in exile, those Israelites in captivity, released them and actually financed them to rebuild their temple that was in ruins in Israel. And what did President Trump, that's why one of them, he moved the embassy, established the embassy in Jerusalem. I mean, there's so many things that I'm sure, I'm convinced that God is doing something here. And it's really hard to explain to a lot of people, but we want to pray for God's will to be done. So by the way, he made that statement publicly that he felt like Donald Trump will be the next president when Donald Trump was 14 points behind the next candidate, which I'm not sure who, but he wasn't like, hey, I'm going to get on the bandwagon and be a Trump supporter while he's about to win. He was tanking. He had no support whatsoever, and he prophetically spoke that. So, guys, I just think this is not it's not a us and them. It's not a Republican and Democrat thing. This is not a left and right thing. We're all evil. We all need the grace of God. We all see in part, but we have to align ourselves. We are called as sons and daughters of the Most High God to align ourselves with His will, with His purposes. And right now, the Republican Party is more in line with the will of God. And He's doing something that goes beyond. And I want you to hear this testimony, and then I would like to take some time in prayer. I would like to pray and close and invite those of you who pray to stand up and pray out loud, and we'll all agree. So if you can run that. Yeah, this was just a few weeks ago, probably about that. Yeah, this is Lance Wallnow. Just, can you pause that? Just want to say, this is what Brother Rod Aguilar asked me to show our church, to pray, that to hear this perspective. All right? You can you know, before we pray, I want to just say the promise was given to Israel. Come out of Egypt and go into the promised land. It was a firm, absolutely established fact, but then what did they have to do when they got there? They had to fight and fight and fight to actually possess the promised land. And that's what we have to do. It's not just this passive thing. They didn't just get it handed to them. They had to stand up and they had to put their sword on. They had to be an army. And so that's what I'm calling. In a few days, 27 of us men are going to be driving down to a men's conference to get encouraged and trained and refreshed and challenged to be men of God. And I just thought, what better way to start off by just saying we're here not to just have a kumbaya, nice time, and stay out of trouble, but we're called to take authority and take territory and gain ground for the kingdom of God. So let's stand up. This is beyond politics. This is a battle, a spiritual battle for the kingdom of God, and I believe God is calling us to fight and pray. And so I invite you prayers in the room, let's pray and agree together. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I want to read Psalm 40 again for starters. The specific request by, I don't know her first name, Mrs. Kavanaugh. Ashley. Be pleased, O Lord, to save us. God, come to our help. Says, O Lord, come quickly to help us. May all who seek to take our lives be put to shame and confusion. May all who desire our ruin be turned back in disgrace. May those who say to us, aha, aha, be appalled at their own shame. But may all who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. We thank you, Lord, for who you are, that you are on the throne, that you are the sovereign God. There is no God but you. There is no other. You made the heavens and the earth. It belongs to you. You're sovereign over it. You own it, and you maintain it, you sustain it, and you're working in it, God. And I pray that you would help us to align ourselves with you, our priorities with your priorities, that your kingdom would come. God, we seek first your kingdom and your righteousness, that yours would prevail in our land, in our nation, and in the nations. We know that one day you will come back, not as a little child, but as a conquering king, riding in with an army of heavenly hosts, and you're going to turn the nations back to your authority. And Lord, we want to be prepared, and we want to not be surprised by it. And we say, Lord, have your will. Sustain us, prepare us, align us to get in position to call forth what you want done in our land. God, may all who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. We are glad. May those who love your salvation always say, the Lord be exalted. Father, I pray that you'd be exalted in our nation. Be exalted in the White House. Be exalted in our Congress. Be exalted in the House of Representatives. Be exalted in our Supreme Court. God, be exalted in our businesses. Be exalted in our hospitals and in our medical facilities, Lord, and pray, God, for your mercy on us regarding abortion, the 60 million or more that have been slaughtered in the name of convenience and self-righteous, just incredible that we have that on our heads. Lord, show your mercy and turn our nation, turn the hearts of the people back to you. Just pray out loud. Thank you.